A little bit more in the early Avram and Agra, but let's go to something new. Let's start something fresh today. Pasuk Vav. Yizkar Adirav Yikoshlu Behalichas. We're at the Pasuk Vav. Okay, we're going to start today. Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav on page 5, 5, 6. New. A new sugya. A new topic. Yizkar Adirav. It's not a new topic, but it's a continuation of the discussion describing the end of the Malchus of Ashur or related matters. Pashtus is we're describing over here the nation of Ashur. Yizkar Adirav Yikashalu Bahalichasam. May Hashem remember, his mighty men. Yikashalu, may they stumble Bahalichasam as they travel. And over here it's a Krivich Siv, okay, over here. Yimaru Choy Mosa. And may Choy Mosa, silly means over here, her wall, which we're going to see over here is that, okay, it all depends on how you want to translate this pasuk, whose wall are we describing? We're describing over the wall of Yerushalayim. We'll right away read the Mefarshim, V'huchan ha-seichech, and let the seichech means the shelter, be established. Let's read one more pasuk. Shari ha-nahoros niftach, the gates of the rivers have been opened, v'ha-heichol no-moig, and the heichol melts. Okay, we'll see more, so we get familiar with the words. The gulsa has been established. The word hutsav normally means, it means that which stands in one location. Okay. V'hutsav gulsa ho alosa v'am hoiseha min ahagois k'kol yoyim. Let's right away take a look and see what all this means before I babble and say nonsense. Let's read with clarity what it says here in the Mitzvot David. Pasuk Vav. Sorry? Yisko. You're saying Yisko. No. Okay, let's right away see now that we have read the words Pasuk Vav in the Mitzvot, page 557. Yisko Adidav, Melech Ashur. The king of Asher, Yizkor Gibarav Leches Likras HaMulchama. The king of Asher will remember his mighty men when he goes forth to war. Avol Yikoshlu Bahalichasam. They will stumble. V'lo Yatzlichu. According to the Mitzilus L'shitasai, over here we are describing the defeat of the king of Asher. We are describing what will happen. Melech Asher will put his confidence in his soldiers. He will have faith and confidence that his men are the best. They have the best weapons. They are trained. They are strong. They are invincible. He will yizkar. This is a very powerful idea that when an army, when a king, think about the United States. So the United States, they want to go to war. They want to defeat terrorism. What do they say to themselves? They say, what does they say? Well, we have the best. We have the best military. We have the best weapons. We have the best intelligence. Yizkar Adirav. Every person deep down knows that when they want to accomplish something, their success depends upon their resources, on their plan, on their ability to carry out their desire. How do you know you will succeed? Well, I have soldiers, I have weapons, I have a strategy, I have intelligence. That's exactly what it says over here. Is the king of Ashur, he's really worried. He's worried deep down inside that maybe he will not succeed in conquering, in defeating, in conquering, when they're going to war. Well, we will look over here that he's going to war against the Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is now Pashas over here. It's after what they have done to Klal Yisrael. And now Nebuchadnezzar is coming to destroy Ashur. And Ashur is not fazed. Ashur says, okay, you want to fight with us? We'll fight with you. And we will win. What gave the king of Ashur the resolve, the confidence that he will not be defeated by Nebuchadnezzar? Because I have better soldiers than you. My soldiers are the Adirav, my mighty men. However, what happened in reality? Yikashlu b'halichasam, they stumbled as they went to war. V'lo yatzlichu. Then it says Yimaru Choy Mosa. What does that mean? Ritzon Eloymar. This means Yoshuv Lemaher La Alois Al Choy Masoir Limnoya Esakastim Lavoy Boir. They returned back home when they saw that they were failing, that they were being defeated in battle. They made an about face to seek shelter in their fortified city. What's the fortification of the city? The wall. Yemaharu. They will swiftly retreat to the protection of her wall, the wall of the city of Asher. V'huchan hasechech, yachinu dovar hasechech aleihem. They will prepare something that will protect them. They will set the defensive shield. Mimal, from above, lohagein, minachitzim bi'avnei akela, to protect from the arrows and the avnei, the stones of the slingshot. Okay, they had some type of technology, the iron dome. They running back home, in defeat, they're seeking shelter in their wall, and they're setting up a shelter, something to protect them from the arrows, the missiles, and stones. Pasuk Zayin, Shari Hanoharos Ritzon Lemar Im Kol Zeh Lo Yochlu Limnoya Atzoyev. With all this, they're not going to be successful. Why not? The gates of the river Ki Niftachu Sharei Hoir Hapoinim Mul Hanoharos. So this tells us that the city of Ashur is situated along a river, and the gate that is open to that side of the city, which is near the river, will be broken open by the enemy. Niftachu will be broken open. Kichel hakastim, the kastim, which means the Babylonians, they will break it open. Vahechol nomoig, hechal hamelech. This means the palace of the king. Nomoig, vinomas will melt. Ritzon Laimar, yinatitzu vichatisu oiso. Nevuchadnezzar and the kastim will obliterate it, will smash it to smithereens. So the Hechel of here means the palace of the king. It will melt. It's a symbolic word which means it will be destroyed. Next, Pasuk Ches. Vehutzag gulasa ho alosa ritzoyna loymar hamalka hanitzeves pinima limin hamelech kinyin shenemar nitzava shegal limi limincha. This says about David HaMelech, the Shegal is the queen. The queen stands, or Nitzva doesn't really mean to, it means stand, it means to be situated, is put in a chair of dignity. It says that Shlomo HaMelech, who sat next to Shlomo HaMelech? Rus HaMoaviah. How could it possibly be that Rus HaMoaviah was still alive at the time of David HaMelech? She went to the Institute of Longevity. And they preserved her. You ever listen to the radio commercials? They go to the Institute of Longevity. They take it, they check you out every couple of days. Make sure everything is A-OK. So somehow, she lived all the way until the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, he set up a chair. There was a special throne next to his throne for the mother, the queen mother. The queen mother sat next to Shlomo. That's what it says, the Shegal. There are different interpretations of what Shegal means, who we're referring to, but let's go over here on a very simple level. Shegal here means the queen, and refers to, and Nitzvah means that she is situated. And therefore, the Mitzvah David, he takes this as a code word, that when it says word Hutzav, Midlash and Nitzvah, this one little word over here means the queen of Ashur. What's going to happen? Niskales le'en kol, she will disappear. She will go into exile. V'ho also el al ha-merkava l'halicha ba'gola, she'll enter into a chariot to usher her away. Gulasa ho alosa. The word ho alosa means she will enter, she will ascend into a wagon, she'll board a plane, right? We have special terms that you use when you enter different types of vehicles. When you go into a car, what is it called? I don't know. What? When you enter into a car, yeah. Is there a special word? When you enter a plane, there's a special word. You board.
Embark.
Embark, that's for a plane? Boat. A boat. Embark. And you go on an airplane, there is an embark. Board.
Yeah.
Board. Is that a word that's unique to an airplane? I don't know. You go to the airport, they say this flight is now boarding. Boarding. Go to a ship. I never went on a cruise. But what do they say? They say board or
also board.
Okay, I'm assuming that there are different words. There are different words, just like there are different words for sound of an animal. That's a famous Chazal that every animal, every noise that an animal makes has a unique sound. every animal is there. And in English, I don't think there's so many words. I mean, this one brays, this one barks, and this one chirps. Every creature, when it makes noise, we have a unique word. Likewise, when it comes to entering a vehicle, there are. I'm assuming that different types of vehicles have unique expression to. Like I say, they've made up this new word called the D-plane. You ever hear that when you're on an airplane?
Yes.
D-plane. There's no such equivalent.
That's right.
What? There's no such word. This is a new word. This is a new word. To depart from the plane, it's called the D-plane. There's no equivalent to this in the go or D-ship. No such thing, right? This is a new word. Likewise, the word ho'alosa, according to the Mitzvah, means it's like, and if he's borrowing the word and he's making this up, she will ascend. She will board her chariot to escape the enemy that's coming to destroy the palace. So who
says? We've had this thing before about Allah. I compare it to the Allah min ha'aretz.
Exile, to go off.
You
have to leave the land. You have to leave the lid. Okay, you have to leave. So that's Hutsav means the queen, Gulasa. She will go into exile. Ho'alosa, and the way that we know that she is going into exile is by observing her enter her chariot, and her chariot takes her away to safety. Next words in the Mitzvot, V'am Hoiseha, I'm now page 559, her maidservants, Shif Hoiseha, Minahagois Oisa Bikol Kina Kinimas Kol Yoinim. Her servants, her maidservants, will escort her when wailing. They'll be crying. Menahagois, they're going to accompany her. Kikol Yonima Yoina makes a sound that has a sad sound to it. You have to learn with a nigun. Hege to express yourself. He called your name next, Miss Soififois. Commercial other market is Soif Kane, Hey Makos Al Levayan. This is a very popular thing you have in the Kinois. And Miss Soififois Al Levayan. They will bank on their hearts, on their chest in agony. You have this by Bila and Zilpah. The only equivalent I know about such a thing over here that it says Bila and Zilpah at the time of the Churban. We find that Yirmiyah went to the Kvarim of the Avos to pray, and nothing worked. And it says there in the end of the Kina, towards the end of the Kina, San Tisha B'Av, is that Bila and Zilpah were banging their fists on their chest in aggravation and sar over what is happening to their children. So here you have another expression. It's like a drum. Right. A person takes his fist and he bangs on his chest. Which wail over the loss over a loss. Okay, so three psukim. Let's read the psukim again very quickly. Now that we have the basic pshat pasuk, we'll go back. Pasuk vav. We are describing the king of Ashur. Ashur is now going to war against Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, his goal is to destroy this malchus, and he will succeed. But in the meantime, he has to fight. And the kingdom of Ashur, king of Ashur believes that he will win. And why? Because Yizkar, he recalls Adirav, that he believes that he has better soldiers. They're prepared. Yet, the end is, Yikoshlu Bahalichasam, Rabo Ismachashavas Bladish Fatsas Hashem Yisakum. The end is that his soldiers will stumble as they travel to go to war. Yimaru Choymosa, they will retreat. And when they retreat, they will go back into Choymosa, into her walled city. For Huchan Hasaychechan, they will erect
a shelter.
Okay, a shelter, a defensive, a shelter.
You know, I'm getting the image of like an armored personnel carrier to bring them back to safety, something to shield them.
So you're suggesting that. The shield is not in the walled city. The shield is on their way back. Okay. I hear it's very interesting. I think the pashtus of the mitzvahs is that v'huchan chasecha means in the city itself. Not only from on the wall, but that's why the mitzvah stuff it says is that they're throwing arrows and stones over the wall. So just because you live in a walled city, you still have to protect the air. Right, but you're saying something very interesting. You're saying over there the huchan chasecha is now a reference to once you get inside.
Yeah,
once you get inside the walled city, you're okay. But on your way back, you need shelter in some type of armored vehicle to protect you, safe voyage, safe passage to return to your walled city. Okay, then it says it's not going to make a difference because ultimately the enemy will come and break open the gates of the Shari Hanahorais Niftahu, the gates of the river will be broken open, meaning that the enemy, there are gates, I guess, along all sides of the city, but specifically, this is probably an historical fact, there were special gates along the side of the city which opened them to the river, it will be broken open, and Vahechel Namog, they will come in, they will come to the palace. They will come to the palace, and the palace will be obliterated. It will melt. The Hutzav. What?
Yerushalayim had the same thing. The Chomat Yerushalayim outside, and then the Chomat Harabait. So when they retreated,
two different walls.
In through the Chomat Harabait, and obviously it didn't work.
Okay. Yeah.
One stage.
Two different things. Two different things. The thing. Different wall. Different. Yeah, that's right. That's two different sets of walls. I'm not sure over here that there are. Doesn't really seem to say there are two different. Okay, so who then it comes to the queen. The queen gulsaho Allah. So the queen will go into exile. And will enter into the caravan, into her chariot, when she escapes. And her maidservants will accompany her, making loud noise sounds of wailing. And then they will be clapping on their hearts in frustration. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk vav yizkor melech hashu'es adirav. V'gibayrav v'yidame b'libay lotzei solilochem. The king, same thing as the mitzvah, the king of Asher has confidence. He has confidence that he will succeed in his mighty men, and he will believe that he will go out and fight. And they will fail. Exactly what the Mitzudos David said. They will retreat. Rashi says in Chumash, what's over here? What's the word over here? The choymosa. It means le choyma. Okay, choymosa. The word l'choymasa means l'choyma. They will yimaharu, they will quickly flee l'choymas, l'choyma. So the hail here is just the replacement of the letter lamed, towards. V'uchanasaychech yivnoin migdilaya. Now what does that mean? Yivnoin, it will be built, they will build a migdol, a tower. Now what does that mean exactly? What does it mean? What does it mean over here? They will build their tower. Seemingly it means a fortress.
The pest. And Banu Migdalim, they built Migdalim for protection.
They will.
Yivnu, but it's in the past.
In the past tense.
Too late now to.
It's too late now to solve. Hucha means they have already prepared.
Migdalim.
That these are probably towers made to protect the defenders of the wall from the attacker.
So they will be prepared. They will build them. They say today, some experts want to suggest that in the Harabayis today the Dome of the Rock, it's not a mosque. Dome of the Rock is it's not a mosque, Dome of the Rock. It's whatever, I don't even know whatever the religious purpose it serves them, but the Dome of the Rock, there are people today, I don't know if it's true or not, I don't know anything, but suggest that it was originally a tower. It was a watchtower. It was a very tall watchtower. It went very, very high up in the air. It was built by Hordes. Hordes expanded the Har HaBayis. The Har HaBayis says in the mission was 500 amos by 500 amos. Today, the Har HaBayis that we have today, we go to Eretz Yisrael, the Kotel Maravi, that area, which is surrounded by a wall, is approximately 1,000 amos by 500 amos. And where the Temple Mount is, where the Goyim, where the Muslims, they go to pray, in that building, the Dome of the Rock, that is on the newer portion, appears, and I don't know anything for certain, but that appears to be on the portion that is new. That's not part of the original area where the Beis HaMikdash was. So there is a school of thought, and they have some very powerful proofs to their thesis. Right, it's not. There's a tradition. There's a tradition that the Temple Mount is the Kodesh HaKodoshim. And if you ever gone on the tour, taken the tour of the tunnels, and you travel down the tunnel, and they will come to a point, they will say, this is Kineged, the Kodesh HaKodoshim. And that area is right opposite the Temple Mount. And if this is the Mesorah, then there's nothing to discuss. But there are definitely a group of people, both in the religious sector and in the secular, the archaeologists, who say you got it all wrong. The Beis HaMikdash is really in the area where the open area of the coastal plaza, the very edge, the very tip, the very edge of the open area of the coastal plaza is Kineged, the Kodesh HaKodashim. And the area, the Temple Mount, was an addition of Hordis, that he expanded the Temple Mount, an additional, doubled it basically, and he built in that section this massive watchtower. And the stone, that's why these stones, these massive, heavy, these stones, this was the foundation of, or maybe these stones were there before, there was a very, very, very tall tower there where guards were able to sat, and they were able to see the very great distance of what's taking place out there to see if anyone is coming to attack. So you see such a concept. Now, is that true or not? I don't know. They say they have radar. They go out with airplanes, and they have very sophisticated techniques, and they've done radar, and the radar seems to show an outline of the Beis HaMikdash, not where the Temple Mount is, not where the Dome of the Rock is, where on closer to the other direction, and that would mean, so what then is the Dome of the Rock? And they seem to have indications that this was a tower, a watchtower, a very magnificent watchtower. So you get a sense of, when you read this pasuk over here, the people, they're terrified. They're running back to their city. Yimaru choymosa. And what do they do? V'huchan ha-soichech. Mitsudos translate the word soichech to refer to an iron, like what we would call the Iron Dome. Set up your Star Wars program. Get your Star Wars program back in business and make sure you can intercept all the missiles. That the arrows and the stones that are being thrown over the wall should be stopped. And Michal suggested it means on your way back, enter into an armored vehicle so you should not get hurt in your passage back home to your fortified cities. The Targum seems to say none of the above. Hasoichech is a word which refers to a tower, a migdol, a tower, whether it's a watchtower, whether it's a place of protection. You now that you have to flee back home into the security of your city, now it's going to become active. The Huchan HaSeichech, the area of protection, is going to be activated. Like today in the United States, we know that they have bunkers for the President of the United States. Bush went during 9/11. Did he go there? I think during 9/11, yeah. They brought him there. They have all over the country.
New York City has the same thing for certain people.
There's a whole discussion. Giuliani. Where was the command center? The command center for the police department. It was in the Twin Towers. It was one of the buildings. That's where, if Rahman al-Islam, there's an emergency and they have to set up a massive command center. So it's ironic that's where in 9/11 that's where it was, and one of the buildings that was affected by
Solomon Brothers.
But so now after what happened, they have a whole new system in place. I once read about all this, but any event, all of the United States, there are bunkers. I saw this documentary, or saw some clips, fascinating. And actually, 9/11, they didn't know what to do with Bush. They put them on a plane, Air Force One, and they were just flying around aimlessly.
Yeah, well,
they didn't know where to go.
You go up in the sky so that nobody could bomb you.
Yeah, but up in the sky, you're vulnerable up there. It's dangerous to be up in the sky, especially when there are planes flying around. Okay, so they, if you read the history, they took him up, and they right away got him on the plane on Air Force One. Secret Service takes over, and they usher him in, and they put him on Air Force One, the most sophisticated airplane in the world, probably. And they got him up into the sky, and then where do we go? I don't know. And they started going here, no, go here, go here. And in the meantime, they activated, they have this bunker, they probably paid who knows how many hundreds of millions of dollars. They built a bunker somewhere underneath some mountain where they have a whole command center for the government, the United States of America. The whole government can operate from this command center.
I think it's in West Virginia.
West Virginia?
It's in the mountains of Shenandoah Mountains. It's for Congress and everything.
One of many.
Yeah.
One of many. They have a few of these places.
Also.
They have a few of these places all over the country. Can you imagine how much these places cost? And they have, you can live there forever. They have food, clothing. They have, you name it, they got it. Self-sufficient. And these things the whole year, normally they're shut down. They're whatever. They're just maintained, but nothing is going on there. Now they're activated. Turn them on. Turn on the lights. Clean them up. Get it going. Turn on the systems. V'ilhuchan ha-soichich. Now that we are in retreat mode, we are under attack, we have gone on the defense, get out of the Oval Office and get into the bunker. So the Hasechech here means the bunker. The bunker, the fortress, we're underground, that is completely sheltered. The Huchan, it's now been activated. Get it going, trigger, put into motion, plan. They have all these code words, right? These code words, you watch enough movies, these code words. Activate this plan, these things are set up, and they bring government officials there to operate, to run the government.
In Sefer Melachim, it says about Uziyahu, Vayiven Uziyahu Migdalim de Yerushalayim.
Oh, same thing, Migdalim, exactly, Migdalim, these fortresses. Okay, so that's exactly what it means over here, according to Mrs. David, Huchan HaSeichel, they've already three perishes. The whole perish, our own, armored vehicles on the way back home not to get hit by a missile. And we have Huchan Mitzudois. Huchan HaSeichech means even when you get home, there has to be some shelter, not hit by, get hit by missiles. And then we have what the Targum seems to say, something much deeper, is there was a whole system, a whole plan, an emergency plan that is now going to go into effect. Yivnoin Migdalaya, to build in the future tense, but it means, as Rav Kalman said, it means that it was already in existence, but it just means in this context it's now going to be activated. The next, the Yesh Tufarish V'Huchan HaSoichich V'Hamelech Nizdayein B'Chlizeinoi. It means the king himself has to bear arms. They give the President of the United States, they give him a pistol. They give him a weapon. He has to also bear arms. Kamo Mimshach HaSoichich L'Shoin Moshel. So he's saying of an incredible idea is that the Soichich means the king. The Soichech means the Moshel, the ruler. The ruler himself, Huchan, he has to put on armor. He has to bear weapons because they're coming for him. They're coming for the king. They're coming to kill the Melech. So the Melech himself goes into his arsenal and takes out a pistol to fight to the very end. So we have over here four Peirushim for this word Soichech. We'll call the Iron Shield, an ancient version of the Iron Shield, an armored Humvee to go back home, according to Michal. According to Rad, his first interpretations of which is the Targum, a fortress, a bunker buried somewhere down in the mountain. And according to the Rad, his second parish means the leader, the Melech himself. He is called the Soichech. He's called Weissach, maybe mean Lashon of oil. You anoint a king with oil. Sicha. So you smear with oil the one that's been anointed, the king. He now, Huchan, in that context means he has to prepare himself for his fate and get ready. They're coming for him. He takes weapons in his hand to fight to the very, very end. Next, Rashi. Rashi, Pasik Zayin, the Sharei Hanaharois, Sharei Ho'ir Asher Mitzad Hanaharois, opposite the river. I don't know if we even know today where Nineveh is. The ancient Nineveh, possible. So that city had obviously some very significant gateways, entranceways, that were alongside a river. Vahechol Namoik, Nirad Vano Mikoich Avne Belistero Hanizrakin. What?
Mosul, within the area of Mosul.
Yeah, interesting. Do we actually have the? There must be some. I'm sure you go to the experts there. They'll probably give you a tour, show you maybe where they think the old Nineveh was. They'll do some archaeological digs. They'll find the foundations of this and that. And here it says that the Hechel is Namoiga, Nirad Vana. The word Namoig literally means to melt, but in this context, it means to shake. Nirad means to tremble. Na means to move. Mikoyach avne balistera, the explosions, the stones that have been shot at them as missiles. Hanizrakim b'chsolav.
Of course, is like ballistic.
Ballistics. Hanizrakim b'chsolav that are being thrown towards the wall. Hanikra buma. Buma is, I guess, a missile, right? I'm something along those lines. V'hutzav. Now this, according to Rashi's second interpretation, is very satisfying. According to Rashi's second interpretation of the word, the Soichech is the king, so then the Chutzag is the, okay, I make up a word now, is the queen. No, is the queen. The king and the queen. No, just joking. The king and the queen is the queen. There's a parallelism. We have here the king, who is the Soichech, and now we have the Chutzav. Chutzav is the queen. She is being escorted to safety.
Was it the viceroy, maybe the assistant to the king?
Okay, the queen had that position. He doesn't say that. He says the hayamalka, the utzav hayamalka hanitzeves, that stands, that is positioned liyamin amelech kumada at omar nitzva shegal lemincha. The shegal, the queen, will stand at your right side. Gulsa ho alasa the galui, openly. Halcha b'shevi v'ho also min ho'ir, and she was taken. She went up from the city. It was on CNN. They showed her being escorted out of the city to safety, and this obviously caused the country to melt. If they see that their queen has to be taken away into captivity, obviously they're under attack, and the situation is not good. Okay, today in the UK, they're obsessed with the Malchus. Even though the Malchus has absolutely no power, there's just something to it. The glamour, it's a fashion show.
Before, they have places in Scotland for the king and queen to be.
So when they see that the king and queen, they go into exile, they know they're in trouble. If Prince Harry and, what's her name?
Meghan.
She has to we leave this as the bizionis.
Bizionis
for the country.
But in times of war, it's the royals that speak to the nation to give them his appeal.
Okay.
That's the king's speech.
That's interesting. That's very interesting what you're saying. It's not the prime minister. It's not the prime minister. It's the machazi of the country. That's their role today. Their role is chizuk. That's the code word of this generation. Word number one of this generation is chizuk. Everyone is walking the streets today looking for chizuk. Okay, it used to be, you know, after 9/11, the word of the year was ground zero. That was the word of the year at 9/11. Now the word of the year is chizuk. Everyone needs chizuk. So he's saying over here that the role of the monarchy of England today in 2020 is to give chizuk. They don't have any power.
You look at World War II, in those days.
Look, Walter Cronkite can also give chizuk. It all depends who steps up to the plate.
Yeah, well,
who steps up to the plate? It's
a lefty,
Walter Cronkite.
He was a major on the
city. Okay, yeah? Vahutsav, Golasa, the queen has gone into exile, ho alasa, in public. That's the key word according to Rashi. She has ascended in public. Next words of Rashi, next page, Menagos, we call Yonim. Same thing as the Mesidos, is that those that escorted her assistants, they ascended with kinois, like the sound of a yoina. Menagois, he has an old French word, or Michal, you want to fill us in on that old French word, menagois?
Yeah. Genison in French. Doesn't
his staff.
But it means to moan.
Oh, it means to menagos. Means to moan. Menagos is to moan. Okay, the moan and the menagos. Menagos, they moaned. Who moaned? The amhoi seha, her bodyguards. Okay, her servants. Her servants menagos, they moaned. Kikol yoinim, like the sound of a yoina. We just had the Daf Yomi, right? The dreams. The yoina always represents Klal Yisrael. Okay, the yoina represents Jews versus non-Jews. So what does that mean? What is there any significance over here in that and injecting that interpretation of the word? I do not know. Okay, let's go now to the Radak. Radak, back on page 557. Yizkor Adirav. He will have confidence in the mighty ones. By the way, the word Adirav is similar to the word Ador. We are now in Chodesh Ador. We got yesterday's Daf. Daf also is Adir Bamaroy Hashem, mighty. This is a very big problem, though, with that pshat, because the word Ador in our vocabulary, Chodesh Ador, I'm digressing for a moment, is a chataf patach.
Right.
It's not a real Aleph.
Right.
It's really Ador. The real word, the month, it's a Babylonian word. It's not even a Hebrew word. It's not Hebrew, it's a Babylonian word. And what does it mean? How do you spell it? Look in the Megillah.
Sure.
You look in Megillas Esther. And every time it says Hu Chodesh Adar, if I'm not mistaken, it's Adar.
Right.
The Aleph is not just a Patach like it says over here. There's an Aleph, a Patach. There's two dots. There are two dots, vertical Shva, on the right side of the Patach, which means that it's a Chataf Patach. And what in essence is a Chataf Patach? It's a vowel. It's a prefix. It's not part of the no way can a Chataf Patach indicate that the letter is a part of the root of the word. Now, this is in contrast to the word Ador in Parshas Masse. V'ovar chatzar Ador. V'ovar atzmoina. V'ovar atzmoina. There in Chumash, there it's the name of a place describing the Gevulos of Eretz Yisrael. It says Ador, but there it's a regular patach. Ador, v'ovar chatzar ador, aleph dalid resh, and it's spelled, the aleph is a regular patach. Chodesh Ador in Megillas Esther in the Megillah is spelled with a chataf patach, so you pronounce it differently. A real good Baal Kriya, when he lands the pasuk v'ovar, it's really the words chatzar Ador, will pause or will emphasize the Aleph. Ador. But a good Baal Kriya, when he lands the Megillah and he says the word Hu Chodesh Ador, he'll almost skip the Aleph. You'll have to listen very carefully to hear the Aleph, because the Aleph is meant to be swallowed a bit because the Chataf Patach. Now, if that's the case, how then can anyone dare say that the word Adar, the Babylonian word Adar, or not Jewish word, which we use to refer to this month, is related to the word Adir, the mighty. It's a month of glory. It's not the same. Very good. Chatzar Adar. Okay, L'Kodesh V'yotso Chatzar Adar. By the way, there's another difference. There's a dot in the Dalit. In the Pasuk, in Masay, Ador, the Aleph has a regular patach, and there's a dot in the Dalid. In the Megillah, Rabbi Yisai, there's a chat of patach under the Aleph, and there's no dot in the Dalid. Very different. And the difference is really it's Ador. The correct way to pronounce it is not Ador, that's Chumash, that's Parshas Masay. It's Ador. Ador. That would appear to be the correct way to pronounce this month that we are in today. The Aleph gets swallowed a little bit, and the Dalit has no dot. There's a valid and a Dalid. Okay, valid, valid. How then can you dare say that the word Adar relates to Chodesh? How then can you say that the word Adar relates to the word Adir? Because Adir does not Adir has a dat. Does it have a dat over here? Yeah, it does. Has a dat, and there's a pad. There's a regular patach. How can you say such a thing? Listen, no one ever held us back when it came to Jewish. Now I'll tell you the real answer. The real answer is because I'll answer this question with another question. We're digressing because it's Chodesh Adar. I think it's very good. This point I have over here, Yiskra Adirav. And also we're talking about Parsha Zohar today. So Parsha Zohar is Yiskar. All goes together. But Chazal say, Haman mina Torah minayin. How do you know this Haman? Hamin ho eitz. Excuse me. This is the Chazal. This is not a 21st century Jewish. This is the real deal here. Chazal. Haman mina Torah minayin. Hamin ho eitz. Excuse me.
It's not because of the letter. It's the whole idea.
Okay, that's very deep. That's too deep. Pashup shot. Pashup shot. Ha min o'eit. The Pashup shot. Hey, mem, nun. Haman. Excuse me, the hey is not part of the word. The word is min. The hey is just a hey ha-yidia. How in the world can you go say that Haman, which we assume to mean that was part of the shoyresh of his name, Hey, Mem, Nun, Haman, okay, Haman Tashin, Haman, this is the real letter, and you're taking a proof, Haman Minat Harminayin, Hamin, Ho'etz. I guarantee that if anyone would say such a thing today for the very first time, he would be shot down so fast, they wouldn't let this guy in the Beis Medrash. Because this is cheap drush, to take the word Hamin, Ho'etz, the Hey Hayidiyah, oh, it says eight. He was hung on the tree, and it says Hey Memnun. Okay, very nice. Maybe after a couple of glasses of wine, you can say such a word, and no one's gonna get angry at you. But this is Chazal. This is Kodesh Kodashim. Hayitochen Chazal are taking a word Ha Min or eight and taking a Hey that has no shaykhes to the word and using it for Haman. So, know the answer is. That's exactly what Purim is all about. The miracle of Purim is not out in the open. It's the nuances. The whole miracle of Purim is coincidence. Coincidence. The little things. Just because Mordechai happened to be there when Bigfoot and Seresh was talking, happens to be this happened and that happened. All of these coincidences. It's all the little things. The things that are insignificant in and of itself. How they all come together to paint the picture. It's bidafka, the ha min ho'etz, that the letter is not a real part of the word, that we're going to use it to show Haman mina Torah minayin. Because Haman was taking advantage. The whole miracle of Purim, without going into whole drasha here, is the small, little, insignificant coincidences. How they all came together to create a picture. And it's now once you have the Chazal that tell you, Haman HaTorah Minayin, Haman HaEitz, it's in a Chanami. It's a letter that's really just insignificant. But look, it plays a role. And because it's there, you know, it creates a new meaning of the word. It's the same thing with the Darshanim, who say that Chodesh Adar, Avar, sounds like the Darth Vader, right? The Chodesh Adar, that this month of Chodesh Adar, a Babylonian word, a Babylonian name that came up from Babel, from the Babylonians, and it became part of our vocabulary. You wonder what it really means? Adir Bamorayim Hashem. How dare you? It's Adir. There's a dot here, there's no dot. That's exactly the point. It's the small little things that also contribute, the things that would mislead you, the little details that would mislead you and would say, doesn't mean anything. How can you compare? Here there's a chata patach, and here there's a dogesh. So you're right. But the bottom line is, what are the letters? Aleph, Dalet, Resh. Don't be misled by it's a coincidence. Yeah. It's a coincidence. Adar and Adir have no connection. No connection. You're right, they don't have any connection. because the little things they lead you astray. But the truth is, the letters are the same. Aleph, Dalet, Resh. Can't ignore that. Hey, Mem, Nun. You can't ignore that. You have to look deeper to see the Yad Hashem. Okay, that's a Purim drasha. Now go back to our pasuk. Yizkar Adirav, Radak. Return to our regular programming. Yizkar Adirav, pasuk Vav in the page 557. Nuchal Lufareish Al Melech Ninveib Kishe Yizkar. When he puts his confidence in his mighty men, that they will go, meaning they will go, I guess, to let's see how he follows through the chayma, they will stumble. So he is, has a new translation, he's coming here to disagree with the Mitzvahs and Rashi, and he says, Yemaharu chayma sa is not a discussion of retreat. It's part of the offensive. And he's basically changing the order of the pasuk. The enemy, his soldiers, his adirav, yemaharu, skip those words, yikoshlo bahali chasam. The radak is being very creative in translating the pasuk. And he takes with yizkar adirav, yemaharu choymosa. The king of Ashur has confidence that he will prevail, and the way he what does he think? I have mighty soldiers, and when they will swiftly run to attack and topple the wall of Bavel, of Nebuchadnezzar. Vine Huchana Soichech Elachoima Mivachutz Lachtar Bikir Choima. They prepared the Soichech. Now what does that mean? The Soichech means they prepared their tools to burrow under the wall. Elachoyim mibachutz lachtar to dig bikir chayma. It appears that he is translating the word Soichech to refer to some type of weapon. It's a weapon which you use to penetrate the defensive forces of your enemy. Okay, some type of what are these things called? They had these bull. I forgot what they were called. They would
battering rams,
right? Battering ram, where they would massive heavy things. They would ram against the wall. It appears that he's translating the word soichech to refer to some type of weapon that you would use to either dig under the ground, under the wall, or to push your way through the wall. This is what the people of Ashur are doing in order to overcome and to defeat Nebuchadnezzar. So let's review so far. We have here the king of Ashur. He is the subject of the pasuk. He now wants to go to war against Nebuchadnezzar. He has confidence in his mighty soldiers. Yizkar, he recalls, Adirav. We now skip two words. Yemaharu choymosa. They swiftly run and move towards the direction of the wall of Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom of Bavel, and v'huchan ha-soichech. They set up, they prepare their weapon, their battering rams, or some type of weapon to dig tunnels in order to penetrate the defensive for the shield of the enemy. And then, but then it goes on to say, they will stumble. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think it means to say over here is the word yikashlo bahalichasam also means they will go so fast they'll trip. Is that what he's trying to say? Okay, let's take a step back. Until now, Rashi and the Mitzudos, they translate the word yikashlo bahalichasam to mean this defeat. The only two words, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, that describe the offensive. The king of Ashur wants to go to war. He has confidence, so he says, Yizkar Adirav, period, end, chapter over. He recalls his mighty soldiers. I have confidence in you. He gives them a pep talk, and he sends them out to go to war. Now, what happens now? What happens next? They are thoroughly defeated. Yikashlu b'halichasam. They stumble as they try to go to the battlefield. Yimaru choymasa. They retreat swiftly. V'huchanaseichech. And then they shelter themselves in the bunkers because they realize their days are numbered. That's the way both Rashi and the Mitzudah Stavi learned. Now we come to the parish of the Radak. The Radak says, no, every single thing in this pasuk is a description of the offensive. The king of Ashur gives a pep talk to his soldiers. Yizkar, he remembers them. He remembers they're mighty, they'll succeed. Yikashlu b'haldi chasam. If I'm not mistaken, I think what he's trying to say is that his army, they run so fast to the battlefield to destroy Nebuchadnezzar, they fall over themselves. It's an expression which means they're running very quickly. And then the pasuk, for poetic purposes, repeats, Yimaharu Choymasa, they swiftly ascend, they gather near the wall of the enemy to destroy it. And they set up the battering rams to penetrate the wall to enter into the city. It's a very different approach to understand what the pshat in the pasuk is.
But wasn't the Nebuchadnezzar attacking them?
No, so that's exactly what it seems not. We know that there was a war. See, that according to what we're learning over here, it seems that they took offensive measures. Preemptive strike. Mm-hmm. That's what we do know, that at the end of the day, the Nebuchadnezzar obliterated the kingdom of Asher. That's what we're taught in yeshiva. But we learn, whoever learns Nachum. But Nachum seems the way that the Mitzudah Stav and the Radak, way most of the commentators are learning, it's just clear as day, is that Ashur is going to war against Bavel. And in this war, they are defeated. So it appears they felt threatened and they launched a preemptive strike. And this preemptive strike was a disaster which led to their defeat, to their downfall. And the question is, how do we fit all of these ideas into this pasuk? And the Radak appears in his first interpretation to be telling us every single expression in this pasuk is describing the offensive. The king has confidence in his mighty men. He sends them to war. They travel so quickly, they stumble, get flat tires, and their tanks get worn out. That's one of the biggest problems with the tanks. The tanks, when you go too fast, you travel too much of a distance, the treads break right and left. The treads on the tanks, that's the biggest vulnerability of a tank. It's the treads. The treads are always falling off and breaking. And they're very aware of this, and that's why they try very hard. A modern army is to deposit your tank where you need it and don't actually send it on the highway to your destination. If you're going to send your tank on Highway 1 to reach your destination, by the time you get down to the south, wherever you're going, your tank, you're not going to have a tank anymore. The treads of the tank have a very short lifespan. And here they're running so quickly, by the time they get there, the treads need to be replaced. Yikashlu b'halichasam. They're so eager to go to war, they go too quickly, they don't think it out, and they stumble. But it goes to show how confident they are, and they're on the offensive. And then they finally reach the wall of the city, of Bavel. Yimaharu choymasa. They quickly ascend lichoymasa to the wall of the enemy. And what do they do then? They set up their weapons of mass destruction to destroy the city. V'huchan ha-sechech. Completely different translation of the pasuk than Rashi and the Mitzvah stuff. Further than the Radak. The Radak has a new interpretation. Then he goes on to explain. He explains the choymasa hei b'mapik. Writes a loymar choymas Nineveh, the wall of Nineveh. He makes it clear as day that not like Rashi and the Mitzvahs. Ha-sechech. What is the sechech? Hu michsei kirashim v'oiros aleihem. This is the shelter. A michse of kirashim, a shelter made of beams, and there are hides, leather hides, aleihem, boim hanilchamim eloir, v'nismachim tachtav, alachoyma, v'choyshim tachtav, hachoyma. It is a shield. So you're really right. You're saying very good. These are Humvees. They set up the Humvees. While they are battering the wall and trying to break open the wall, from the top of the wall, they're throwing down stones and missiles. Just the opposite of the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos said that they retreated, they went into hiding in their own hometown, and their enemy is now throwing from outside the city, throwing arrows over the wall into the city so they need shelter. He learns just the opposite. Here, Ashur is about to conquer, is about to cause the wall of Babel to collapse. But as you're going, you're trying to undermine the foundation of the wall and have it collapse. In the meantime, the people inside Babel, they're standing on top of the wall and they're shooting down on you arrows and missiles. And you don't want to get your head chopped off while you're causing this wall to collapse. So what do? As you go and you burrow the wall, the foundation, you shelter yourself. You put upon you make a little ceiling of thick leather, which will catch any massive stone that they try to throw down from the top of the wall to crush you. So you basically set up scaffolding, pretty much, right?
Correct.
You're setting up scaffolding around the entire wall of the city so you can work and burrow underneath the wall without being injured in the process. That's why it's called is that the fifth shot or the sixth shot of what it means here, the Huchana Soichich. Many perushim here. Okay, next further. Next words, Bahali Chasam, the Kedis Akrivich Siv, Kasa Bevav, Lushan Rabbis. It's spelled with a Vav. Bahali Choysam. Not Chosam, Choysam with a Vav. Lushan Rabbis, Ukri Bahali Chasam, Lushan Yechida. What's the significance in their mission? In other words, the question over here is, we all know that, let's say that the Allied forces, when they go, you have a group of nations that come together to go defeat the common enemy. Everyone has their own agenda. If you have an alliance of many nations coming together to go to war against one nation, so what does America have it? What do they get out of this? Oil. What does Saudi Arabia get out of the defeat of this enemy? Terrorism. Because these Meshugoyim are coming and they're making trouble for them. What does this one get? Money. What does this one get? They get covered. Okay? What does this one get? Some nation. They don't get nothing. They just want the cover that the President of the United States will say, "I want to thank this country for supplying three F-16s. They just want the prestige of participating on the winning team.
That's what the Gemara says by the Migdal Baba.
Excellent. Everyone had a different agenda.
There are three different reasons why they wanted to build it, because it makes no sense to build it from a valley. Why not start on top of a mountain?
Everyone had a different agenda. So it would appear. Here there's a war going on, and there are many people participating in this war, and the way that it's spelled is Bahali Choysam. They stumbled, according to his interpretation. Yikashal over here means that they were very swift. The way he seems to say Yikashal, they were very swift in their goal of reaching the destination of destroying the enemy, and it's spelled Belushan Rabim, which would give you an indication that all of the participants had a different reason for going. There were many different journeys. I'm going for this reason, you're going for this reason, you're going for that reason. And yet the way that we read it is B'lashon Yachid, everyone was unified. They only had one agenda to eradicate, to get rid of this evil man, Nebuchadnezzar. Why did Chazal change why is there a Mesorah that it should be spelled one way and read the other way? I don't know. But that's what it seems to say. That's what the Radak appears to say.
It says, "Al tichre alichot elo alochot."
That's a different. Okay. Halichos. Okay, that's a different Chazal. Okay, I'm not sure how relevant that is over here. Halichos. Some kasev of loshen rabim v'kar b'halichos of loshen yichida v'yonis antigem yimanoin rabonei mashri yosoin yitaklon Bimholchoin Yoichoin. Let's just read before Yich Bishun Shura Vivnoin Midalaya. In other words, he's now coming to acknowledge that my novel translation of this pasuk that interprets every expression as far as reference to the offensive is in conflict with the Targum that learns that the entire pasuk is describing defeat. Defeat. And his words are Yemanon Rabone Mashriyosain. He will remember. Okay, he's translating the entire Yizkar. Yizkar means Yemanon, he will appoint, Minui. He will appoint his leaders. Yizkar. In other words, he's going to give them a pep talk. That the king of Ashur has confidence that my mighty men will succeed. Yizkar, he will appoint. He's saying not really not to remember. It's a very interesting idea that we're learning the word Yizkar here and with the Targum's translation against the backdrop of Parshas Zohar. He translates the word Yizkar, Yimanoin. Yimanoin literally means to appoint. Oh, you have a translation here in the Targum?
No,
in the Dega Press, the only way
to. No, I didn't say that.
Okay, I think the word Yemano means to appoint. Yemanoin Rabonei Mashir Yosain. The leaders of his army, generals, that the king of Asher will appoint new generals for this mission. That's Yizkar. It's similar to by Yosef, by the Sar HaMashkim. That the Tsar HaMashkim on his birthday party, Yom who led it as Paro Mamevsky, what's the pasuk there say? The pasuk there says that he will remember. Doesn't it say that he will remember? It was the Yom who led us as Paro. Zohar Esar HaMashkim. So what does it mean there? Pashup Shat. What do you mean he remembered? He remembered, my long lost girlfriend, I remember her. What do we remember? It means he reappointed. He reappointed to his position.
Right.
He was reinstated.
That's the
model. Yizkar, we always like to romanticize the words. Yizkar means to remember. But that's not what it says there. That's not the Pshuta Shel Mikra in Parshas Miketz. Yizkar there means Vayeshev. Vayeshev. Yizkar means there he reappointed. He appointed. So here, that's exactly what it says over here, according to the Targum. Targum says, Yizkar Adirav. It doesn't mean, I kept on translating for you, really, that's what everyone says, the Mitzvah says, Melech Hashem Yizkar Gibarav. He doesn't even translate the Mitzvah of it. And Rashi also does not translate. Very interesting. Rashi and the Mitzvah, I didn't even notice this, did not even want to translate these words. And neither did the Radak in its first interpretation. But now, but the Targum did translate it. And his translation is not that he will remember. I translate he has confidence, right? That the king of Ashur wants to go to battle. Can I do it? Will I succeed? Yes, because I have a great army. They're well trained. They're well fed. They're strong. They have weapons. He recalls. He reflects. Reviews his assets. His resources. So according to the Targum, that's not the Pshat. That's not what Yizkar means. It doesn't mean to reflect, to review, to remember what you have in your arsenal. It means appointments. He has appointed you will be the general. You will be second in command. You're going to be a lieutenant. You're going to be a colonel. You're going to be a private. You're going to be this.
The right people.
Exactly. Yizkar Adirav. Yizkar means he will appoint leaders to accomplish this mission. Just because a person is a good leader in this battle doesn't mean you're cut out to lead the country. You may have been a good mayor. Who says you're cut out to lead the country? Right? It's a different beast. It's not the same. New Yorkers are a different beast. Who says you're able to lead the country? Giuliani could never be president of the United States. He ran for president. Giuliani. No way. Just because you were very successful in in being the mayor of New York, that's right, because New York is that you fit the personality of New York. Your whole, Giuliani's whole personality is in your face. But it doesn't work well with the country, that's and it doesn't work well with international diplomacy. It's Trump, not the right personality.
Koch's joke about Giuliani was his kindergarten report card said, very bright, doesn't play well with others.
Okay, so you need someone like that to handle all of the schoira in New York. But the country, so here, it's very interesting. Over here, there's a mission. There's a mission to go to war against the kingdom of Babel. Our generals that we have sitting around on all the talk show, television, Sunday morning talk shows are not the right people for this mission. You're all fired. I'm now appointing new leadership for this specific mission. That's who says this pshat? The Targum says this. Okay, that's his Yonason tier game. Yimanoin, he will appoint. Yiskar, that's what Yiskar really means. A whole new word. We say Yiskar on Yom Tov. Yiskar Elokim. What does it mean, Yiskar? Remember Hashem. Is that really what it means? Maybe what it really means is Hashem, give our relatives, give them something to do in Olam Haba. Give them a promotion. Give them an appointment. There's a whole world out there in Olam HaEmes. Or they sit around in the old day and they twiddle their thumbs. There's a lot of activities going on in the Olam HaEmes. So when you say Yiskar, you're petitioning, you're lobbying Hashem to give our relatives a promotion, to give them an appointment to do something important in the Olam HaEmes. It doesn't just mean, oh Hashem, remember. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't know what anything means. But it's fascinating that Yiskar doesn't necessarily mean just to sit back and to reflect. It has an action associated with the word Yiskar. That's also very appropriate because this week's parsha, it is Parshas Zohar. Zohar Eis Asher Oso L'Kim L'Molek. So what do you also remember? That's what the pasuk concludes. Loi tishkach. What's the difference between the command of zohar and lo tishkach? Lo, what's the end of the pasuk? Lo tishkach. Lo tishkach. Don't forget. What is the difference between lo tishkach and zohar? Zohar, a command to remember. Well, when you learn the Targum today, it seems that don't forget is passive. It's just a reflection. Reflect. Reflect what they did to us. Zohar means take action. Make an appointment. Pick up your weapon and go to war. And kill them all. Okay, many of the Paiskim say that today there's really no mitzvah. There really is no mitzvah today of Zohar. Can't possibly be because Zohar means take action. Really, the halacha l'maisa. Take today, it's impossible today to be mekayim in the midst of Zohar. How could they announce in Shul, everyone should have kavana to mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of Parsha Zohar? The mitzvah d'oraisa is not just to reflect, it's to take action. To go out into the street after davening is over. And stop a person. Are you in a Maliki? Can I please see your passport? If you are a Maliki, I'm sorry, sir. You have to go. You have to go. And right there on the spot, goodbye. Okay, we're not going to get graphic. Are you willing to do that this Shabbos?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Are you willing to do this on Sunday? I don't think so. Therefore, if you're not willing to do this on Shabbos, so therefore, don't announce in shul, everyone shav kavana to mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of zohar. What are you talking about? The mitzvah d'oraisa is to take action. You might like this Targum over here. If you're not going to take action, then you're not doing the mitzvah. So don't fool everyone to tell you, oh, we're now about to do the mitzvah. It's not possible today.
That's why the Limud HaNisan says it's to remember the characteristic traits.
That's Al Tishkoch. That's a separate mitzvah.
No, he says it's Zohar. In other words, learn from them what, you know, there are no people from today.
Right, that's obviously the way, that's where we have no choice.
Learn from them.
We have no choice today.
Right.
Other than to learn, to interpret it that way. But is that the true essence of the mitzvah? This is a discussion. This is a big topic of discussion.
Right.
The reason I'm talking because there was a story, there was a fellow in Eretz, I don't remember exactly who the story was said about. I think it was the Brisker Rav. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe not. Maybe it was the Chazon Ish, maybe it was the Brisker Rav. And there was a fellow that was a little strange. And he was not satisfied to hear the laning in one shul. He went to every shul to hear the laning. He wanted to hear Parsha Zohar in Havoras Sardit, and the way the Yemenites do it, and the way the Ashkenazim, some do with an O, an Oy, and some do like this, like that, and Zecher, and Zecher, you name it. So he went to hear the laning 50 times, every possible way that it can be said. And he was very proud of himself that, oh, I'm great. I'm the only one in the whole Eretz Yisrael that was certainly Mekayim, the mitzvah, the Reis of Zohar. So one of the Gedolei Yisrael said to him, really, you're Mekayim, the mitzvah? Are you ready now to go and bear arms and kill the Amalekim? No. So you're not Mekayim, the mitzvah. Don't get all worked up with yourself here. He's making litzanas of him. You don't even know what the mitzvah is. Before you go and you think you know, before you go and you listen to the Kriya 100 times, you don't even know the Aleph base of what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is not to go here from the Sefer Torah, this Havar, that Havar. The mitzvah is to read what it says and to act upon based upon what it says. If you have no kavan, if you have no intent to go do what it says in the Pasuk, are you really Mekayim the mitzvah? Listen, today we don't have a choice. So today, the mitzvah is to go to shul and to hear them laying, and that's when to learn the lessons, to understand what it means, and v'zehu, that's what the mitzvah is. But this is a very relevant targum. The word yizkar means to appoint, to make an appointment. Let's finish up the Radak. Yimanon Rabboni Mish, appoint leaders of his battalion. And then it goes on to say, oh, it's so late. How is it so late over here? It goes on to say, Yitaklun bim, that is the end of the pasuk. Yitaklun bim hon choin. They will stumble. He's learning the pshat like the mitzudas, like we learned from the Rashi and the mitzudas, and he will be defeated. They will stumble on their journey. Yoychoin yichbeshun. I don't know what the word means. Yoychan, yitaklun. They will stumble. Bim hochoin means on their journey, and then it says yoychan yichabeshun shura. I don't know what the word yoychan means. Yichabeshun shura. No, they will conquer the wall. The yivnoin migdalaya. I'm gonna have to go look this up for tomorrow. We're gonna stop over here.